My name is Alan Morse, and I'm going to talk to you today about a teaching. It's going to be called The Power of God, and it's going to be part one. This is part one of part two. We're going to do it at another time, part two. The Power of God, part one. Now, get your Bibles out. This is tremendously important. This is a tremendous subject. I think you'll really enjoy this. I don't think you've ever heard this teaching before. This is something that ministers just do not teach, and I do not know why, but it's totally ignored. The power of God. Let's turn into our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verses 16. Well, we'll start with 15, and we'll start with 15. Romans chapter 1, verses 15. So as much as it is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now verse 16 is what I want to get to now. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Listen to this really, really close. This is tremendous. Paul is telling us he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is all he taught through all of his epistles, all these letters that he wrote. He taught the gospel of Christ. He called it the gospel of God. He called it Paul's gospel, my gospel. But it's all the same. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. The gospel, this is the gospel for your salvation. Look what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Look what it didn't say. It didn't say that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth and baptized. It didn't say that, did it? Or join a church, or speak in tongues, or pray to Mary, or pray to the saints. It says, to those that believeth. Believeth what? The power of God, the gospel. When you think of the gospel, you should think about it. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's what we're looking for. That's what everybody should be looking for. And you know, I'm 71 years old, and I've never heard this ever taught. Never once taught that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Here it is, just as bold as it could be written in the scriptures. Now, what is the gospel? We see that it's the power of God unto salvation, but what is the gospel? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to the right. Romans. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I consider this the most important verse in the Bible. Verses in the Bible. There's no other that even come close to it. This shows us what salvation is. And it talks, this is the gospel. But we got to know what the gospel is. Now, Paul's teaching this, he's writing these letters to the Corinthian church, who have already been grounded in the gospel. They already believe it. And you can see this in his writings. Paul never writes to unbelievers. He's always writing to believers. He calls them brethren. That's what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is what we're going to find out what it is. What is the gospel? That I preached unto you, which you have also have received, and in which you stand. These folks have already been grounded and been taught into the gospel, and they stand on it. And it also, look what it says in verse 2, by which also you are saved. Just like this verse, Romans 1:16, it's the power of gospel. God, unto salvation. This is by which you are saved, It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this is not a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You truly believe this for your salvation. This is salvation. The power of God unto salvation for those that believe. You believe the gospel for your salvation. Look at verses 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul received this gospel. Where did he get it? Where did this gospel come from? Keep your hand right here and just turn to Galatians. You go through 2nd, 1st Corinthians, then 2nd Corinthians and Galatians, and chapter 1 in Galatians. And look where you received this gospel. Chapter 1, verse 11. I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where the gospel came from. Directly from Jesus Christ. Okay? Just go back to 1 Corinthians 15. So we see where he got it. He got it directly. He says, verses 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Okay, he received it from Jesus. Okay, what did he receive? What's the gospel? The gospel is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. That's the gospel. That's salvation. You believe that truly for your salvation, you're saved. I mean 100% saved. This is plus nothing. Plus nothing. You add nothing to the gospel and you take nothing away from it. You see, Jesus died on that cross. And he's the only one that could die on that cross. Because of the fact, to pay for our sins, because he was the only perfect person that ever walked on this earth. He was a perfect sacrifice. You see, all the millions of sacrifices of animals for the sins of people that only just covered the sin. It didn't do away with it. These animals had to be a perfect animal. They couldn't be just any old animal. They had to be a perfect animal. And you couldn't bring in a lamb that had a blemish on it. You couldn't bring a goat that had a blemish on it, or a calf that was going to die or sick or sickly. It had to be perfect. And so the Son of God took on a human body, whose Son of God was the second of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son took on a human body. Born of the Virgin Mary, had to be virgin because it couldn't be born of a man, because man passed on the sin nature, and God didn't have any sin, and he was God on this earth, and he walked on this earth for those 30 some years he was here, but he's had 3 years of a tremendous ministry of healing. But he was a perfect person, and he went to the cross to pay for the sin debts for man only once. He only had to do it once. He went to the cross and he died for our sins. And that's all he asked us to do, is to believe it. To believe it. To believe it. That Christ died for our sins and that he was buried and rose again. That's salvation for the body of Christ. That's salvation for the church today. It didn't say believe in Jesus, did it? It didn't say take Jesus as your Savior, did it? It didn't say I take Jesus in your heart. It said believe the gospel. Believe what he did, not who he was. Believe what he did. The Jews were saved by believing who he was. But we're not Jews. But they didn't accept him. They totally rejected him. They killed him. They killed him. So when he started this new church, he didn't point to himself. He pointed to what he did, because what he did is what saved you. Because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, we'd still be in our sins, and no matter who you believed in, you couldn't be saved. because he had to die on that cross, and he pointed salvation for the church is called the gospel. The gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. It's just as plain as can be, and it is not taught. It is not taught in the major churches of the day. None of them teach this. And it's just horrible, because there's no salvation unless you believe the gospel for your salvation. Let's turn back to Romans. Turn back to Romans. Chapter 1 again. Romans chapter 1. Go back to the left. And let's look at verses 4. I declare unto you, chapter 1, verses 4, I declare and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Here we're talking about the power, the God of power, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel, the power of God. That's what the gospel is, the power of God unto salvation. And now he also says, by the resurrection of the dead. That's part of the gospel, because if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then that would mean that God didn't accept his sacrifice on the cross and would still be in our sins. But he did raise from the dead. He did raise from the dead. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Clear back in the back part of Paul's epistles. Go all the way through Paul's epistles, through Colossians and Thessalonians, and then Timothy and Titus and Philemon. And then you'll see Hebrews. And look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and just look at verses 12 and 14. 10, start with 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So he offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are those that are sanctified? The people who believe he did it is the gospel. The people that believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again, those are the people that are sanctified on this earth. And it's forever. Forever. When you believe the gospel, you believe that Christ died for your sins and he was buried and he rose from the dead, you're saved. Totally saved. Forever. Let's go back to Romans again. Romans. Back to where we were. Romans. To the left. Romans. We're going to look at chapter 15. And we're going to look at verses 13. It says, now, Romans chapter 15, verses 13. And we say, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, and be in believing, that ye may abound in the hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that you believe the gospel, we're going to find out that we're going to receive power. We're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. You see, in times past, when Moses received the Ten Commandments from God, the Ten Commandments were perfect in God's eyes. But in man's eyes, they weren't. All they did was condemn, because no one could keep them. No one could keep the Ten Commandments. And they floundered. They just couldn't do it. And they kept adding more commandments. By the time that Jesus was walking on this earth, they said that there was more than 600 different laws that they had to keep, trying to keep these people, to draw them closer to the God. And it didn't work. It didn't work. The Jews had more problems than any people you can comprehend, because they couldn't keep the law. So when Christ, after the cross, when he decided to go to the whole world, to all the Gentiles and the Jews, he never went to the Gentiles during his walk on this earth. It was only to the Jews he dealt with. But after the cross, he dealt with you and me, the Gentiles, anybody that's not a Jew. And he made a whole new church, and it's called the Body of Christ. And he told us we should believe the gospel. And that was for salvation for the body of Christ, to believe the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And then, what would he do? He would give us the power of the Holy Spirit. We didn't need laws and regulations. This church has no laws and regulations whatsoever. All we have to do is believe the gospel. And then he gives us the power of God in us to guide us the way we should go. We don't have rules, but we have God living in us. Let me show you that. Let's turn to Ephesians. Turn to the right. We go through 1 and 2 Corinthians, through Galatians, and then we'll go to Ephesians and look at verses 12. This is what happens when you believe the gospel. This is what gives us the power to do what God wants us to do. Here it is. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? It says, then it goes on, the gospel. Gospel of what? Of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the power of God that's in us. The Holy Spirit. This third person of the Trinity, literally. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are made up of God. And there's only one God, but they're made up of these three persons, distinct persons, and the Holy Spirit is sealed in us when we believe the gospel. It's beyond our imagination. You see, the world, the church today, has no comprehension of this. The church today aren't the church today. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They aren't saved. How many churches have you been to where they told you in order to be saved, you have to believe the gospel? I haven't heard it. In my 71 years of life, I haven't heard it. Not once. They said, believe in Jesus. Take Jesus as your Savior. Take Jesus in your heart. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. And when people go down this aisle and they shake the hands of the pastor and says, I believe in Jesus, and he says, you must be baptized, they come out of there, they're no different than they were before they started. They're no different whatsoever than they were beside. How do you think that the church would have problems that they have if they were all filled with the Holy Spirit living in them, walking with them? You see, we have the church, the so-called church of the day, has as high a divorce rate as the world, the ungodly people. There's no difference. No difference. How can that be? People join a church and there's over 500 members in the roll and only 75 showed up. How could that be if these people had God living in them? Would they not be pointed to go to the church? Sure they would be. And then when they get there, how many of those people that are there are saved? They just get there and they think they should be there, and they go there and they do their works and they think, well, I've done what I should do, now God owes me a salvation. He doesn't owe you nothing. God doesn't owe you a thing. He'll never be indebted to anybody because he's the one who paid for your salvation. Not a one bit of work that you did will have anything to do with your salvation. He paid it on the cross. He paid it. He said it was finished. He did it all. No one could add to it. But what the church does, they add all kinds of things to your salvation. And it's totally bogus. Satan has totally turned the eyes of the church away from the gospel. Because he knows the only way you can be saved is by the gospel. And he wants everybody to go to hell. And he's doing a good job of it. A good job of it. Ephesians chapter 1:13 shows you that you've received the Holy Spirit when? after you believed the gospel. And God doesn't give anybody the Holy Spirit unless they believe the gospel. You can't pray for it. You can't walk an aisle for it. You can't study for it. You can't do anything to get it except believe the gospel. Let's look at Romans chapter 16. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 16. And let's look at verses 25. It says, now to him that is the power. We're talking about power. Power of God. Power to establish you according to what? My gospel. What is my gospel? We just said it. That Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And the preaching of Jesus according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began. You see, nobody knew anything about the gospel. None of the Old Testament saints ever said anything about the gospel. Jesus' earthly ministry, he never preached the gospel. He couldn't. He hadn't died yet. It was after the cross where the gospel came into effect. Peter, James, and John knew nothing of the gospel of Christ. Nothing whatsoever. Oh, they knew Jesus died. He knew that he was buried, and he knew he rose again. But it wasn't for salvation. It was their salvation was based on believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Believing in Jesus. That was the salvation for the Jew, and it was right. But they didn't accept it. You can't find one synagogue in the world today that believes that Jesus was the Messiah. They totally rejected Jesus. Peter, James, and John preached their hearts out that people would believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And sure, their salvation was different than ours. Theirs was that you believed that Jesus was the Messiah. You repented from your sins. You were baptized. And then you received the Holy Spirit. That's not salvation for the church. Our church is to believe the gospel. And that's all you have to do. And then you're saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you fill the Holy Spirit? Believe the gospel. And they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. As Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed with it when you believe the gospel. Quite a difference there, isn't it? It's not pointing to Jesus' earthly ministry. He's pointing to what he did on that cross. Because what he did on that cross was what truly saved us. He paid for our sins. No one could go to heaven without have those with sin in our lives. And we all are sinners. We all fall short. But Christ died on that cross and paid for our sins, and all we got to do is believe it. All we got to do is believe it. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. Back to the right again, to Galatians chapter 1. Just so how important this gospel is. Let's look at verses 8. It's Paul said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, he said, let them be accursed. Accursed is anathema, which means hellfire. Then he goes on, verse 9, it says, and he said it again, as we said before, say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than which you have received, let him be accursed. There isn't a denomination in this world that preaches the gospel. Oh, we have the head knowledge that we always knew that Christ died for our sins and he was buried and rose from the dead, but we didn't know it was our salvation. They didn't point to that for our salvation. They pointed to believing in Jesus for our salvation. They pointed to believe that Jesus is our Savior. But you see, he can't be your Savior unless you believe the gospel. Now I can say he is my Savior. I have a love for Christ and his walk on this ministry, his walk on this earth, and him himself more than anything in the world, because I believe what he told me to do for my salvation. You see, we're saved just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were all saved because they believed God. And that's how we're saved. We believe God. We believe Jesus when he tells us to believe the gospel for our salvation. That's what salvation is all about. To believe God. And people, the ministers today, spend no time in Paul's writings. And this Paul's writings are the only writings in this whole book that concern you and me. Every other writing in this book other than Paul's writings concern the Jews. They're teaching and talking to the Jews. And we're not Jews. We're not Jews. Jesus says, I came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Are we a member of the house of Israel? No. No. He told his disciples to go, do not go to the Gentiles, but only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus' teachings had literally nothing to do with the body of Christ. Sure, we can learn from those teachings greatly, but our salvation isn't based on believing in Jesus. It's based on believing what he did. And obviously, when you believe what he did, you believe in Jesus more than you ever had, but your salvation is believing in what he did. And that's just the power of God unto salvation, is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe, plus nothing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thank you so much for revealing these things to me. And I pray that you will reveal these to each and every person that I'm speaking to today, that it will open their eyes up to find out what true salvation is and what the power of God is. The power of God is the gospel, and that you will be saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I pray that every person here would believe the gospel and be filled with the Holy Spirit and would walk with you, and you would walk with them for the rest of their life and guiding and directing them in the way that they should go. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.